The reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. It can be found on the Bibles on page 1025. And I think it should be behind me. Okay, so that's Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Brilliant. Well, that's a well-known passage, isn't it? And it begins to begin the story of Advent as we move towards Christmas. James Cameron's film Avatar made $2 billion at the box office. It was the biggest grossing film, highest grossing film of all time. I expect you've seen it. Have you seen it? The one with the blue people? Yeah, quite a lot of you have seen it. It's a very good film, really good. And it's about some blue aliens on another planet, and there are amazing sky mountains and things, and amazing graphics in it. And there are lots of crossovers between the plot and Christian faith, and we quite often use it in youth work because it helps us just communicate some of the basics of the gospel. And in the film, Jake, the lead character, through some rather clever technology, is able to take on an avatar, an artificial blue body that he can control. And so he sort of lies in this machine, and his mind controls this blue body, which then goes and spends time with the Na'vi people on this planet. And he effectively becomes one of these blue people. And so that he can walk with the Na'vi, he can reach into their culture and reach into their lives. And as Jake walks with them, he understands them and eventually rescues them from an oncoming disaster. And of course, this resonates with the incarnation, doesn't it? And how God came to earth and how he lived amongst us and how he eventually enters our world to rescue us from sin and death. But another thing actually struck me watching this film, and it was the simple phrase that the Na'vi, the blue people, say to each other in the film. And they would stop and they would look closely at the other person and they would say, "I see you. I see you." And tribes today, sort of tribes, indigenous tribes, often actually use this same phrase, "I see you." And what they mean by that is, I see not just that I can see you, but I can see deeply into your life, that I understand you, that I get you, I know you. And there's a sort of transfer of real value in that phrase. They say you matter, you're significant, you're important. Well, we read in Luke just a moment ago about Mary. And Mary, of course, was a girl of only 12 or 13. And she's going about her daily life. And as a young girl in that culture, she would have been completely insignificant, pretty well invisible in that culture have had no importance at all. And perhaps at that age, she may have quite enjoyed staying below the radar, in fact, and being hidden. But then God picks her out. And the angel Gabriel is dispatched to bring this amazing message to her. A message from God. Greetings, highly favoured one. The Lord is with you. And really what God is saying is, I see you. You're not insignificant. I understand. I know you. And you know, God says that to each of us too. It's almost like heaven is peeled back and today God sees you. I don't know what sort of week you've had. We've discussed that already, haven't we? I couldn't think what sort of week I'd had, to be honest. But maybe it's been busy or stressful, or maybe it's been just ordinary and boring. Maybe it's really exciting, or just another week. But you know, whatever your week, as we meet here in church today, God knows and God loves you and God sees you. It's like a one-to-one thing that we have. And you know, when we know that, when we know that God knows us and sees us, that makes us highly favoured. The God of all the universe knows about your life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? You're not insignificant. You're not just one in a crowd. You're one that God knows and one that God loves. And I suppose as we let that sort of sink into our hearts and into our minds, we may begin to think, I'm not sure I want God to see me. I'm not sure I want God to see everything that there is about me. But of course he does, doesn't he? So there might be things that we won't think, we need to get that straight. We need to sort that out. Maybe there's things that we need to sort out with God today. Don't know how you've come. But you know, the really good thing is, of course, as God sees us, he loves us and he's died for us. And so we're forgiven too. And God says, I loved you. I love you. I died for you. So even those things that are laid bare before him, he's already dealt with. We're forgiven. Jesus' cross was a rescue operation for you personally. Not just a crowd of people in church, but for you. Jesus died. If there hadn't been anybody else in the world, Jesus would have died for you. So that's the first thing to see. To realise that in a way you are on your own before God this morning, and that he loves you and he's died for you. Well, the second thing to see here from this passage is that God had a call on Mary's life, and what a call that was. It's really interesting, actually, to look at the text really carefully here, because obviously Mary was shocked and afraid, because the angel says, don't be afraid. And who wouldn't be? I mean, there was an angel in front of her. It's not surprising, really. But actually, if you look really carefully, we're told that Mary was greatly troubled at his words. There's another element there. It's what he says. And what does he say? He says this. Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. And then he goes on. Angel Gabriel says this. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. So he's going to be a king of all the universe, a king forever, says the angel. And suddenly, so this girl, from being an ordinary girl in an ordinary place, in an ordinary week, the world has changed for her. She's become part of this most amazing rescue plan for the world. And Mary's an absolute standstill as she hears this. Who wouldn't be? She can't believe it. And she says, how can this be? I'm just a girl. I'm just insignificant. I'm just a virgin. God will do it, says the angel. And sometimes we think that we're nothing, don't we? You know, what can all the troubles in the world, the things we've already prayed about today, the troubles in our city, the troubles in our families and amongst our friends, and we think, you know, what can I do? I'm insignificant. I'm unimportant. But you know, it's not your ability that matters, it's your availability, because it's God that will do it. And that was true of Mary. Here she was, just 12, 13, a young girl, insignificant, but God chose her to use her. And you know, God chooses to use you too. And he's got a plan for your life. And this is what that young girl, Mary, says. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it happen just as you have said. In other words, I'm willing. As God says, Mary, I see you, Mary looks up and says, God, I see you. I know you. I'm going to respond to you. And you know, that's Christian faith. It's as simple as that. One God, one person. God looks down and says, I see you. You look up and you say, I see you too. It's a personal relationship. You may have thought, well, it's just about coming to church, or it's part of being a crowd, or part of doing good things. But it's more than that. It's actually knowing personally that God and responding to him. If you've never done that, then there'll be an opportunity perhaps later on as we pray to just invite God into your life and to do that. Mary didn't really understand what she was letting herself in for her life. But she understood at that moment that she wasn't invisible anymore and that God had got a plan. And you know, if God sees you in an individual way like that, then he's going to be communicating to you. And it's really important that as we live our lives, that we make time and space for him to do that. You may remember at the right beginning of Jesus' ministry in the River Jordan, as he came out of the Jordan, God said, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." That's a pretty key message, isn't it? As we live our lives, we need to listen to God. And of course, for Mary, the angel was unmistakable. He was standing right in front of her. But from her that point on in her life, she was somebody who was responsive to God. Occasionally, we have experiences, spiritual experiences, that are as clear and as powerful as Mary's. But more often, it is promptings, isn't it? As we make space to listen to God, he prompts us, and so that we can learn to live our lives in response to him. It's impressions very often. We need open and attentive hearts and minds in order to allow him space to speak to us. I wonder if God chose Mary because she was that very sort of person who was open to God. So that as she brought up Jesus, as she dealt with all the things that she had to deal with as Jesus' mother, she was connected to God and listening to him. You think of Mary's life, the suffering that Jesus went to, the pain of seeing her son rejected, the cost of that. Our lives are not easy, are they? Life is not just something that just rolls on simply. It's complicated, it's difficult, it's painful in times. That was true for Mary. That's true for many of us. But what we do is we listen attentively to God, and he guides us and he helps us. So how can we do that? How can we make space to do that? Well, I think it's really good to put time aside every day, and that's different for each one of us. But more than that, I think that sort of sets us up at the beginning of a day, perhaps. But beyond that, we need to be practicing the presence of God throughout our day so that we're hearing him guiding us and speaking to us. So, you know, how do you do that? Well, it'll be different for each of us. But maybe it's time to perhaps just turn the radio off. You know, when you're driving a car, you can listen to God as you drive along. Or maybe when you're in the shower, don't turn the radio on, listen to God. Take a moment. We have so much technology, don't we? Phones and iPads and, you know, how would it be if we connected with God as much as we do with Instagram and Facebook and texts and emails? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? We'd all glow on a Sunday. Because that stuff's going on all the time, isn't it? God wants to communicate with us all the time as well. He'll be prompting us, guiding us, moving us. So, God calls us to be part of his plan. He sees you. He knows you. He knows your gifts and your abilities. So we don't need to worry about that bit. We just have to not worry about our abilities, but our availability to him. And as we are available, as we receive his Spirit, as we recognize that he sees us and we say, yes, Lord, I see you, he will use us in amazing ways. Mary didn't really understand what the angel was asking her to do that day, but she said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And from that day, a whole new way of seeing the world opened up in her life. She found her destiny. She found what she was for. Have you found that? Your destiny? What God calls you to? You know, that's an amazing thing when you do. She said yes in her vulnerability. And from that point, God came and overshadowed her. And the Son of God unfurled in her womb. And she was the mother of God. The mother of Jesus. You know, God has got a plan for you. God has got a plan for each of us. We aren't invisible. You aren't invisible. Lost in a crowd. He knows you. He loves you. He calls you. And if you say yes to him, he'll use you. Let's stand, shall we? Pretty simple message today, really. God sees you, you see God. And yet that's a really big thing, isn't it? Let's just take a moment. We're just going to take a moment of silence. The Lord of the universe knows you, loves you, sees you today. Lord, come by your Spirit now. Just assure us of your presence. And Lord, we want to say, like Mary, we want to say yes. Yes to you. Yes to your plan. Yes to your healing. Yes to your forgiveness. Might like to just put your hands out if that's something you're comfortable with, just to receive. His Spirit is here. His love is here. Maybe perhaps some here today who've always felt insignificant. Always felt that you're sort of at the back of the crowd. Not really sure if God wants you. Know that he sees you. Maybe you're carrying a deep pain today. Maybe you need healing. Bring that to the Lord. He sees you.
While we were just being quiet, I had a picture, and it may sound very strange. There's a massive auditorium and lots of lights and bright, but there was a big searchlight, a big spotlight. And that spotlight was honing in on a few people. And I just kind of feel that sometimes we feel afraid, but God still picks you and God still wants you and he searches you out and he is giving you his spotlight, and it's your chance to come and say, yes, Lord, I want to be with that spotlight. I want to be with you.